Hey, let's grab our Bibles and head on over to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 10. I'm going to start us out in prayer and we're going to get into the word this morning. Father, oh God, we love you. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for strengthening us in our weakness, God. Thank you for always being there when we needed somebody to turn to. Lord, we needed a shoulder to cry on, God, when we needed someone to talk to, when we needed somebody to be there, when nobody was there, Father, you were there. You've always been there, and we thank you for it, Jesus. We love you. We're praying that you open up our eyes and our ears this morning as we get into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm going to title the message this morning, Commit to Commit. Commit to Commit. How many of you, and be honest about this, would say that you got a hard time committing? Like on a 10, on a 1 through 10, let's go like this. Just on a 1 to 10, 10 being like you're really committed. How many are at a 10? You'd say you're really committed. Randall, you're committed. Okay, you're really committed. So you do that. So Randall's like Jesus. How many of you guys would say you're more of like maybe a 8? When it comes to commitments? Kathy, you're already at a 10. You're at an 8. How many of you guys would... So like you're committed. Like when something's going to happen, you give your word, you're at an 8. How many are at an 8? Okay. Anybody at a 5?
Keep going.
I'm working there, Janet. Okay. How many of you guys would say when it comes to making commitments, you're literally at a 5 and under? Anybody? That's most of us. Okay, that's cool. Hey, let's give a round for all the uncommitted people. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You know, as we get into the holidays, I really find out and I see how uncommitted I can be. It's like you make plans for a lot of us that raised our hands on 5 and under. We're the type of people that love to make plans, but then when it comes to carry them out, we're just like, I don't know if I want to do it, or it sounded good a week ago to hook up, or it sounded good when we were making plans. And then you get to this place to where the plans start happening and you're just like, man, I don't know if I really want to do that. And you have a tendency to flake out at the last moment. Does anybody do that? Like you just like you can make an excuse. It's okay. We're all Christians here. We can be honest. And so you make an excuse and you don't commit when you commit. And I think we all have an issue with that, obviously. We have problems with commitments with one another, but it's different when we make commitments to God and we don't follow through with those commitments with God. And we may be at a 5 and under, or we may be at a 6, or we may be at an 8. Some of us might be at a perfect 10. But when it comes to being committed to Jesus, oh, and by the way, never like, hey, if you don't ever be a 10 in church, because then you're going to get picked on the whole service. Amen. We got our eye on Randall, but he said, bring it. Oh, I love it, man. I got a message for you today. So listen, when it comes to being committed with God, though, he doesn't want us at like a 5 or an 8 or a 7. He wants us at a what? A 10. Borderline 11. He wants us to be committed out of 10. And when we look at the end of this book, this is going to be our last series in the book of Nehemiah Rebuild. There's been a situation where the people had made commitments to God and now they're not following through with their commitments. Nehemiah, and in the last sections of this book, we're going to finish in chapter 13 this morning, actually. We're going to get through a lot of chapters and it'll happen quick. We'll get out of here on time. How many of you guys believe I can do it? I can do it. You guys have got some faith this morning. Thank you, Jesus. So in chapter 10 to 13, what we see is that these people have gone back on some commitments that they made to God. Nehemiah goes back to Jerusalem, back to Babylon after rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem, and they had such a great start. Do you guys remember how they got together and they were putting their shoulder to the work and they had opposition and they had pushback, but they came together and they built the wall in 52 days. And then at the end of the book, what you see is that everything is falling apart. All the work that they did, all the stuff that they did coming together is falling apart. And the reason why is because they're going back on their commitments. They're not ending well, which reminds me that we want to be a people who don't just start well, we want to finish well. Amen. Write that down. You don't want to start well. You want to finish well. We want to run this race to win. You know, I read this story yesterday about gyms. Do you know gyms are betting on you to make some money this year? So they said there's two types of people that they make their money off of. And a lot of us were like, well, I ain't never going to the gym, so it ain't applying to me. Well, good. But some of us, on January 1st, we make a commitment to get back in shape because we get so fat and out of shape through the holidays. And that's why I'm wearing black today, promise God. Like, I'm getting so fat, like I wanted to wear something that was thinning. And so, but we get to this point to where January 1st, we're making all these commitments to get into the gym. And this is what the gym owners say. This is the type of person they make money on. The person who comes in on January 1st, and man, they start working out. They're not only signing up for a gym membership, they're signing up for Tabata. They're buying the protein at the counter. They're like getting in all the cardio, setting up these classes. And they said, and what they do is come April 1st, that gym card is mocking them from the back of their wallet because they're still paying memberships and they're never going. And they said, that's who we're marketing. That's who we know is going to come in. And they don't, and all we got to do is get them to sign up on the 1st of January. And we've got them, and we're just got them on automatic withdrawal and nobody's showing up. And so you feel committed to go, but you know, you make these commitments, and sometimes we can do that with God, and we can fall out with God, and that's exactly what's happened. These people in these last chapters, they start out well, but they don't end up well. And Nehemiah, when we see chapters 10 through 13, he gets in their face. Which, when you read it, and I want to encourage you guys to read the Bible, I want you to finish this story out at home from chapter 10 to 13. When Nehemiah goes back, and he sees that they're getting back into all this stuff that they came out of. It says he goes back and he beats them up. And he pulls out their hair. I mean, you guys watch UFC? There's no kind of UFC like Old Testament UFC. If you guys want to watch something, you go read the Word of God in the Old Testament and you'll see some gnarly fights in there. Nehemiah goes back and he starts beating these people up. And it was kind of amusing to me because his name means Comforter of God. And here he's just going crazy ballistic. Why is he doing it? Because he's like, there's no way that you guys are going to get back into the junk that got you in the mess in the first place that I helped you get out of, that I put my time in, my money, my time, my talents to get you guys built up, secured, have this wall of safety and prosper. And now you're getting back into all this same junk that you were in before that you got into this mess that got you into that mess. You think you're going to do it on my watch? Uh-uh. And so he goes back there and he gets in their face. Hey, by the way, if you've got somebody that gets in your face when you're acting foolish, don't resent them. You thank God for them. You thank God for them. I'll tell you why. This is what Proverbs says. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. So listen, if you've got somebody who gets in your face when you're getting foolish, that's not a curse, that's a blessing. God puts people in our life to get in our face and say, listen, things are not right. They're not going good. And there's some people, there's like three types of people with that when someone gets in their face and they say, listen, this isn't going well. The first type's like, well, I'm just going to pray that God shows me what's up. Well, hey, first of all, he just answered your prayer because this guy just got in your face and told you. Listen, this is the answer to your prayer. It's what you've been praying for. And the other person is just like, I don't want to know nothing about it. I just want things to be cool. If there's a problem, la, 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 na, 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 na. They plug their ears. Do you know anybody like that? They just don't want to deal with the problems. They don't want to acknowledge it. And so what happens when you don't acknowledge stuff? It gets better, right? And so the other person's all about, this is a spiritual attack. This is of the devil. This is of the devil. I'm going through an attack. This may not be of the devil. It might be of the Lord. That somebody actually cares enough about you and your situation to get up and say something when something is wrong. So man, if someone gets up in our face when we're being foolish, let's thank God for them. Let's not look at it like we need to resent them. Nehemiah is that friend. He goes back. He's trying to help these people out. And he's trying to pull some stuff back together. And they decide that they need to recommit their lives back to God. They need to commit to commit. And this is the first thing they do. If you're taking notes, let's write this down. They commit themselves to God by making a public proclamation. Check out verse 28. Then the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who had separated themselves from the pagan people and in the land in order to obey the law of God together. Say that with me. Together. Together with their wives, sons, daughters, and all who were old enough to understand, joined their leaders and bound themselves with an oath. And they swore a curse on themselves if they failed to obey the law of God, as issued by his servant Moses. They solemnly promised to carefully follow all the commands and the regulations and decrees of the Lord, their God. That's pretty hardcore. Did you just hear what they said? God, if we sin against you, we want you to put a curse on us. How many of you guys, honestly, raise your hand, that you have a view of sin, that if you sin against God, you pray that God curses you? Come on, raise your hand. One person. There's people going like this, like they're just like, I'm not even raising my hand. In fact, I'm going to cross my arms and lock them up. How many of you guys pray it? God, if I sin against you, I want you to put a curse against me. God, if I ever lust again, if I ever look and lust again, God, I want you to give me the flu forever. Could you imagine that? God, if I ever lie again, double them taxes for the next 10 years. God. And you're praying that prayer that God would curse you if you sin against him. Nobody's going to raise their hand on that. Very few people. But here's the good thing about it. Did you know you don't have to pray that prayer because God wouldn't answer it if you did anyway? If you came to God and you said, listen, if I sin against you, I want you to curse me. You know what he'd say? He'd say, I already did it in Jesus. Paul told Timothy that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. He said, if we're unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. How many of you guys have ever been unfaithful to God? And I'm talking about after you got saved. Every one of you should have both. Some of us should have both hands in the air speaking out, right? We've all sinned against God. Even after we got saved, we've sinned against God. We've made promises to people. We've made promises to God and we've gone back on them. We've told God, God, I'm never going to do this again. And then we do this again. And when you see this about this promise, this isn't for somebody who's like, man, I don't care what I do. God's forgiven me. I can just ride the wheels till they fall off. I can do whatever I want. I'm saved. I'm good. This is for someone who is like, man, Lord, this life is rough. This whole sin thing is difficult. I got a lot of stuff in me that I can't just get out. And God says, listen, I know that. And I died for that. And I'm going to give forgiveness for that. I'm going to give mercy for that. And even if you're unfaithful to me, I'm going to remain faithful to you. How many of you guys seriously can thank God that he's like that towards you? I do it. I'd be the first one. I thank God so much, church, that in those times where I've dropped the ball, God says, you know what? I know that you've done that. And you've been unfaithful to me. But I'll never be unfaithful to you, for I cannot deny myself. And so Nehemiah, they make this public proclamation. And the way that they do it is they're making a commitment to God and they're doing it publicly amongst the other people that are around them. It said together they're making this public proclamation. How many of you guys have made a public proclamation for Christ? Does your friends know that you love the Lord? Does your coworkers, do your family, do your kids, do the people around you know that you made a decision to follow Jesus? Like they know that's where you're at. Now some people, they've got a problem making a public proclamation. I know you do. Because there's some people, listen, there's some people that you, if you're honest, most of us don't want them even knowing we know the Lord. And you know, why that is because they watch you. You know that when you make a public proclamation, you're telling everybody around you, hey, listen, I love Jesus. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to be watching you. Why? Because they want to see you succeed. No, they don't. Once they find out you're a Christian, they're watching for you to crash. I know what you said the other night. Didn't I see you coming up out of the club? Oh, I know what you did. And the reason why when we put it out there, that's why we don't want to put it out there. Because it's like, man, they come over and maybe, you know, you got Tupac on the radio or something. People are like, man, what is, that ain't Christian. You ain't Christian. I know that. I know what you do. And so what happens is we don't want to make a public proclamation because we know that all eyes are on us. But check it out. Listen, Jesus wants us to make sure that we proclaim it anyway. Because like that old, like a bumper sticker I saw on some crazy Christian's car. There's some Christians, we gotta love them. But they're kinda a little touched. And this person had just stickers all over that back window. I stopped for UFOs, Bigfoot's my friend, Elvis is real. And then there was this sticker, it says, I may not be perfect, I'm just forgiven. And I was like, man, okay, I agree to that, I can say amen to that. And so when we're listening, when we're giving a public proclamation, we want people to know, listen, you're right. I am going to drop the ball. I am not Jesus. I am not at a perfect 10. But I know the one who is. And he loves me. And he's working things out. If you think I'm creepy now, man, 8 years ago, you should have been around then. Because you would have seen something you wouldn't have believed. So listen, we want to make a public proclamation about Jesus Christ. That's what they do. They say, listen, we're going to commit. And we're going to do it, and people are going to know about it. The kids at school are going to know, yes, I go to church. I do love the Lord. And that's what they do. They get together, and they make a public commitment to Jesus Christ. We want to go public. And then they do this. They make a commitment to connect with God by separating from other people. We talked a little bit about this last week. Number two, write this down. We make a commitment to God by separating from ungodliness. In verse 28, it says, the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all of them had separated themselves from the pagan people of the land in order to obey the law of the Lord. In order to obey the law of the Lord. In order to... So when you look at that, that's like a... There's a progression there, right? There's like a cause and effect there, right? They did one thing so that they could do another thing. And the one thing that they did is they separated from these ungodly influences so they could commit themselves to God. Check this out. Here's a little Christian hack. If you guys want to obey the Lord, get away from the wrong people and it's going to be easier for you to do the right thing with the Lord. Okay? That's a little hack. Get away from some wrong people and it's going to be easier for you to do the right thing with the Lord. Check out Psalm chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates on it day and night. In other words, this guy, whoever this guy is, like loves the word of God. He's into it. And it says, blessed is the man. Blessed is, not this is how you get blessed. Do you understand the difference? This isn't a how to get blessed. This is an assumption that you are blessed. Because what the psalmist assumes from his position is not that you know the Lord and you're not blessed and you're not happy. It's you do know the Lord, and so you are blessed and you are happy and you are joyful. That's a byproduct of a connection with the life who's committed to God. You're walking around and you're good. And he says, so blessed is. But the problem with that is that blessedness, that happiness, that joyfulness can go right out the window by who you're hanging out with. Because there's a progression. Blessed is the man who not walks. Did you see the progression? It was walk, stand, what?
Sit.
Hang out, sit, camp out. And that's how sin works. There's a progression. Vicky makes this bread. Oh my gosh. I don't know why she's cooking all the time. She's never done this before. But we got a bread machine at the house. And I promise you, I'm wearing black because I'm trying to look thinner. I'm lying to you guys. I'm getting so big. I'm like busting out. She always tells me, Jason, go like this. And if it busts out, it's too tight. It's too tight. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to wear the biggest shirt that I got. She's making all this stuff. And she makes this bread, and it just stinks up the house. Do you guys ever make fresh bread? And you know how it just, the aroma, just kind of like, there's a haze. It's like the Shekinah glory. You're just like, whoa. And so I go in the kitchen, and it's totally dark. And here's this loaf of bread on the counter in the dark. So I walk in the dark. She's in the room quilting. She's in her room quilting. I just walk over there, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, dang, that smells so good. I'm in the dark. This is the creepiest thing in the world. If my neighbors saw this, they'd be like, this guy's, I don't know about this guy. So I walk, and then I just kind of stand, and I start poking it. I'm like, man, that's moist. That's a little flaky. It's in the dark, mind you. And then the next thing I do, you know what I do? I promise God, I sit with that loaf of bread and I eat the whole thing. The whole thing. This just happened when you see her today. Ask her. I ate the whole thing except for a little 1-inch cube. And I left that because I felt bad for Vicky that she didn't have any. So she comes out and she's like, really? A 1-inch cube? And I was like, yeah, I know, I got hungry. She goes, that's a lie. You've never been hungry a day in your life. And I'm like, I know, but it was so good. I didn't know what to do. It was just so good. And man, you guys got to pray for me because the way that I eat a whole loaf of bread, it's really weird. I'll cut off a big chunk, like half. And I'll be like, I'm not going back. I'm this half and that's it. And then I'm like, you know, and then I start doing these little slivers. Like it makes a big deal, like these little 1/4-inch slivers. And then the next thing you know, it's all gone. See, sin's like that. You walk, you stand, and then you sit. And that's how it can be sometimes too when we're hanging out with the wrong people. We get involved in certain people and they lead us in a certain way. And there's always a progression to sin. And there, I heard it said that there's 3 questions we need to get right when they're making a commitment to God. And they're saying, look, we're going to separate ourselves from some people around us. There's 3 questions that we really need to get right in our life. Number one is, do you accept or reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's number one. You got to get that one right, right?
Amen.
Reject him or accept him, one of the two. And then there's number two, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? What are you guys doing? You going to work, punching the clock, going home, putting a little money in the bank, hopefully. What are you guys going to do with your life? And then number three, who are you going to do it with? What is your circle of influence going to be that you allow in? Because if you get number one right and you get 2 and 3 wrong, you're going to be a saved, messed up person. And you're going to have a long life of some rough road. And I want to talk to the single people in here just for a second and those that are listening. That's why it's so important. And some of us know this, that because of loneliness and not having that connection, we've sold out and we've gotten into some relationships that God didn't honor and we paid the price for it. And God's saying, listen, I don't want you to be unequally yoked with somebody who's not sold out for me. Listen, you don't want to marry down. You want to marry up. You want the person that you marry to have a better relationship with God than you got. You want the person to love the Lord more than you love the Lord. You want somebody in your life who's going to love you and cherish you and be on your side. Man, if you can have anybody on your side, you want it to be that person that's in your life all the time. And so we want to make sure that we get number one right, but we also want to make sure that we get the last three right too. We want to put people in our life that love the Lord. You don't want to get into business with somebody that doesn't want to do business with the Lord. You don't want to have friendships with people who just don't want anything to do with the Lord. Yes, I have friends that are not saved, but I don't have real connection with people who are not saved. And I've never seen it, by the way, when we're talking about committing to God by separating from other things, I've never seen it where there's been somebody who was sold out for Christ and they got with somebody who was not and it worked. Ever. I don't care about your story that you know that maybe someone... I've never seen it. But you know what I have seen? I've seen it go the other way. I've seen the one who loved the Lord ended up walking away from him. And you know why? I'm going to show you. This is the way that it works out. Come here, Sydney. Just come over here. Really quick. Hurry up. We got a time schedule. Come here. Come on, come on, come on. Right here. Hey, give it up for Sydney. Okay, go sit down. No, I'm just kidding. Come here. Okay, so check this out. So this is how it works when we get hooked up with people we shouldn't be getting hooked up with. So now, Cindy, grab my hand now. Now, go step back a little bit.
Step back.
Oh, you doing the bro? Okay. Hey, however you want to do it. Come over here. The light's in my eyes.
Okay.
Come over there. Now, listen, if we were to go right now and we had to, like, you pull me down there or I pull you up here, do you think you could pull me down or do you think I could pull you up? Be honest now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll probably end up up there. I don't know.
Do you think you could take me down?
I don't know.
Look at... Who's the advantage?
Yeah.
Who's got the advantage?
I think I maybe got that.
Okay, you think maybe?
Maybe.
How many of you guys think if Sydney wanted to, she could jerk me down off to the... Do you guys want to see her do it?
Yeah.
No. Okay, go. Thank you, Sydney. I want to show you something. Listen, here's the point. I'm going to show you something about that. Do you know why she could get me down there? Is because she's got something working in her favor that I have working against mine, and that's what?
Brain.
The law of gravity. Who just said brains? Who said it?
Kathy.
Who said it? Kathy? I'm preparing a message next week, and you're on it. So besides brains, she's got what's called the law of gravity working in her favor. And it's working against me. Now look, I might be strong. I am stronger. I'll just step out and say it. I could whoop Sydney if I had to. Okay? If I had to go prison rules, I would do it. I don't care. So here's the thing about it though. I've got something, the thing that's working against me that she's got working in her favor is the same thing when it comes to us being unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's called the sin nature. And the person who you're like trying to hook up with, who you think's on your side, who you think really loves you, who cares about you, and we're hooking up with them, guess who else has got sin nature? I got a sinful nature too. So I am saved, but yet I still got that sinful nature. So do you. Every one of you got a sinful nature in here. I'm not the only one. And so what happens is that sinful nature that I got in me, that they got in them, is working this way. So do you understand how important it is that you make sure that you don't make those type of connections? Because very rarely are you going to lift somebody up, but they're going to bring you down. And listen, you want to marry up, you want to friend up, you want to mentor up, whoever you put in your circle of influence, even if it's only you, that's okay. Because you keep it to where Christ is your center, and anybody that comes into that circle of influence isn't going to get you down. Because we can be tempted like that. You just get around the wrong people at the right time. And you know what? You're going to be going off the rails. So they make a commitment to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul said, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? And how can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with the Lord? And so they say, listen, we're going to commit to you, God, by making a public proclamation, and then we're going to separate ourselves from ungodly influences so we can connect with you a lot better. And that's what they do. And so now, and let's close it out with this. They committed to God by committing to his kingdom. Committing to God by committing to his kingdom. Check out verse 32. In addition, we promise to obey the command to pay the annual temple tax of 1/8 of an ounce of silver for the care of the temple, our God. And this will provide for the bread of the presence, for the regular grain offering, burnt offering, for the offering of the Sabbath, a lot of offerings, the new moon celebrations, and the annual festivals, for the holy offerings, and for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel. And it will provide for everything necessary for the work of the temple of God. So when they make a commitment to God with their offering, it was an agricultural type community. So it was kind of like a hippie's daydream. It was like anything you eat, you grow. You got livestock, you've got fruits and vegetables. If you got a headache, you know, you grind up some tree bark. I don't know what these guys do. They drink that. And then that's how you live. So the way that the temple was taken care of, and the way God was establishing his kingdom presence in this place, was by they had a temple and they had worship. And they would have to take care of that place. And so they would bring offerings in to take care of it. Now today, we don't do it like that. You can't pay the internet, the light bill, and all of this in wood off of eggs and cheese. They're just not going to do it. I mean, we could try it. It might be kind of fun. Just say, hey, we're going to send you a pound of cheese for this month's bill. And they're not going to do it. So what we do is we bring in our finances. We bring in what God has blessed us, because that's the way they did it. This is how they gave. In verse 35, it says, we promise to bring the first part of every harvest to the Lord's temple year after year. So, and this doesn't need to get weird at all. Sometimes when we talk about giving, that's when things are like, oh, here we go. Pastor's talking about money. He wants money or whatever. And we do. But we got to talk a bit about it. They were talking about, we're going to bring the best that we have, like that we do have, not that we don't have. And my grandbabies, when they come over, so Ruth and Esther will come over, and the first thing that they do when they see me is we go into the kitchen, because that's where all the stuff is they can eat that their mom and dad forbids them to eat at home. So I'm like, they know, they're like, Papa, they even do this little Papa dance, and they're just like, yeah, you know, and they're just, this is how they do it. Because they know they're going to get hooked up. So we go in there, and I start dancing with them and everything, and we're getting like cookies and all this stuff. And Esther, Ruth not so much, but Esther, I can give Esther a couple of cookies, and I'll be like, hey, can I get a bite of that? And she'll go, no. And it was like, man, you were just like dancing and everything was cool. And now it's like, you got this angry face. Like angry, like, I can't believe you just asked me for that. I'm like, I just gave you that. I could take that from you, right? She's like, no. And then she'll like put them in her mouth, and then she'll go walking around like this. Like she wants more of something. And sometimes, like when it comes to our resources... And by the way, if you're not saved, don't even listen to this. If you're not a Christian, if you're not into the Lord or a church or any of this stuff, just forget this. This doesn't even apply to you. But listen, if you do love the Lord, what we do is we honor him with our treasures. Because you know what? We can trust God. We can trust God with our treasures. And see, they were tithing 10% because that was an Old Testament principle. And for some of you Bible thumpers, you know that there is no principle of 10% in the New Testament. Did you know that? There's not. And so right there, some people are like, well, that's why I'm not going to give 10% because it ain't in the New Testament. So I ain't going to do it. Like they don't know any other Bible scriptures. But when it comes to money, they're just like, I know that ain't in there. And you're right. And the reason why 10% wasn't something they held to. It's because it was something they exceeded. Whenever you look at the Lord and he shows up on the scene, do you know he never lowered the standard, but he raised it? Case in point, don't commit adultery. And you're like, okay, that ain't too hard. But then, you know, Jesus knew that there was a bunch of guys walking around town that were like, yeah, I've never cheated on my wife. I love my wife. I'd never cheat on that guy's a scumbag. I'd never do that. And Jesus goes, yeah, hey, hold on, wait a second. Let me just tell you about that. If you ever looked at another woman with lust, you're guilty. And so they're like, ooh, really? Because he wanted to bring them down a little bit. And that was the truth. He says, listen, if you're looking at people and you're all lust out, man, you're committing adultery in your heart. And then he said about anger, he's like, you heard it said, don't ever murder anybody. And we're like, okay, cool. I think I can do that. Sometimes it gets hard around the holidays and you're shopping. There's one register open at Safeway. But you're just like, yeah, I think I could get out of there without killing somebody. And he goes, well, wait a second. If you're angry, if you've got unrighteous anger, I tell you, you done already killed him already in your heart. And we're like, amen, amen. Jesus never lowered the standard. He exceeded it and he upped it. And when you look in the book of Acts, it says they didn't give 10%. You know what they did? They gave everything. And I'm not saying that we're to do that. I'm not saying, hey, sell your house and give everything to the church. Nothing like that. I'm just trying to say that we can trust God with our treasures. Worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this. I read this story this week about a company that was making these rugs, and they were selling these rugs for $500. And one of the police stations bought this rug, and this is what they said. I thought this was kind of funny. They said, it took a couple months. This is what the article read. It took a couple of months for someone to discover the typo, but was quickly corrected when it was discovered. The $500 rugs outside the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office in Florida was supposed to say, "In God we trust," but the rug manufacturer mistyped the word God, rearranged the letters so that the rug said dog. And it said, "In dog we trust." And I can understand a misplace in typing, in spelling. But what is hard to understand is when we misplace our trust into something else besides the Lord. And so we can trust the Lord with our treasures. So listen, here's the cool thing about it. When we do that, we want to give systematically, not sporadically. Sometimes it's easy just to give once and then never give again. I give, I work, I've got a job. I'm like you guys. You know, sometimes we go to church and the pastor, you think, oh, all he does is what he does on Sunday. Those guys are working too. But what I'm saying is I've got a secular job and we give and we do it systematically. We don't do it sporadically because in the Bible, Paul is talking to the church and he says, listen, I want you to set a part of your income for the first day of the week. And do it that way. So we want to give that way, and we also want to give joyfully. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. So if there's people that are making an offering, they're just like, man, this sucks. Every time I come in here, it's like paying the temple tax. God's like, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Just keep it. Because you're not going to get blessed because of it. You are blessed. That's why you do it. So we want to give that way. So look, when we bring this full circle, listen, we want to commit. We want to commit to God by making a public proclamation to the people around us and say, listen, I love the Lord and I don't care who knows. And we also want to commit to the Lord by saying, listen, we're going to start separating ourselves from ungodly influences. It could be books. Man, there's books out there that women read, like romance books. I like picked one up one time and I was like, oh my gosh, I was blushing. I couldn't believe it. It had a picture of a cowboy on the cover. I'm like, how could that be wrong, right? Anyways, It could be books, movies, whatever. Would you say, listen, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment to you by separating myself from other stuff, and I'm going to make a commitment to you by committing to the kingdom. And you know what's cool about that? At the end of chapter 13, it says that the church was not even, the temple was not even functioning. Could you imagine us having a church that wasn't even here anymore? Now listen, people may not come here every Sunday, but at least we're here on the Sundays that they do come. You know what? When somebody passes away and there's a funeral, guess who's doing it? When somebody needs to get married, guess who's here to do it? When somebody's here to give their life to the Lord and get baptized, guess who's here to do it? When somebody needs counseling, when somebody needs prayer, when somebody needs just to pick up the phone and say, hey, I need to talk, guess who's here? We're here. And it's because of all of you. And I know we're not a big church, but you know what? We are a giving church. And I'm not going to finish this with by me saying, yay, yeah, I want you guys to give. I want to finish this by saying, thank you for what you have given. Thank you for all of your help. Thank you for all of your support. Thank you for all of your prayers. And yeah, we still got stuff to do, but guess what? God provides. And we thank Him for that. So listen, we want to commit to commit. So would you guys stand with me? We're going to close this out. We're going to close this out in communion this morning. But you know why we commit to Jesus? Is because Jesus first committed to us. It was Jesus Christ that said, listen, I'm going to make a public proclamation that I'm dying for the people of this world, that I'm going to pour out my life on the cross, where people spat on Jesus and He hung on the cross, and it was a public proclamation of God's love for us. So when we commit to God by making these commitments, it's because He's first committed to us. He did it publicly, separated Himself from a life of privilege that He could come in and take our sins on Him. And He also, when you talk about giving, the only reason why we would ever give is because of everything that He's given you, because of everything that He's given me. We commit because He's first committed to us. Amen. Yeah. Get those off. So Father, we just come into Your presence this morning, and we're going to make some new commitments, Lord. Maybe it's some people that we've been hanging out with, or Lord, maybe it's we want to share the gospel where we haven't been sharing the gospel. We've been quiet about some things, Lord. But Lord, whether it's making a public proclamation, Father, whether it's separating from something that has just been tearing us up and weighing us down, or whether it's an issue with trusting You with our treasures, God, we're going to make a commitment to You, Father. And we thank You for the commitment that You made to us, Lord Jesus. In Your name.